Stupid thing.
I'm just having fun.
Seeing ghosts.
The Forgotten Camp.
We're on to Cincinnati. It's nothing about the past, nothing about the future. It's right now we're preparing for Cincinnati.
Welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and I am joined today by two good friends, Trey Watkins, as always, and Walker Kelly back on the program to take a look at the NFC playoff picture. How are you doing, Walker?
I'm good, folks. Just excited to get into it. Should be a really, really good playoff season for sure.
Yeah, for sure. It's always a good time, it feels like, but this year feels especially good. I guess, like, really on the AFC side more. We'll get into that tomorrow. But the NFC's got some big, big-time names, big-time storylines, and, I mean, let's just get right into it. Let's start with the biggest, and that is the Packers. The Packers coming off a 13-3 season, and while last year when the Packers – went 13-3, there were a lot of people that said, hey, you know, this doesn't really feel like an actual 13-3 team. Like, it feels like they got a little bit lucky. I would say this year that is not the case at all. They feel very legitimate, and like an offense cruising at a rate that is just simply unstoppable right now. Led by the no doubt MVP, the no doubt all pro, it's Aaron Rodgers, 70% completion percentage out of the roof, 48 touchdowns, too shy of 50, and only five interceptions this year with 4,299 yards. And the yardage total is a little bit low because they have some great running backs in Green Bay as we speak. Trey, the Packers, I just watched them over the past month and I thought, who is going to stop this team? Did you have the same thought?
Yeah, especially as their defense got better over the past month of the season. That defense been sort of a question because of their, I guess you could say, their subpar performances during the earlier parts of the season, but they've turned it up defensively over the past month, and it's turned that team into a more complete football team. No, I think the worst type of team you want to face in the playoffs is a football team that's finding its stride on both sides of the ball. The Packers have been good offensively all year, and they've maintained that performance all year. But that defense is starting to play some really good football. So that Packers team, that defense can keep up its play, and then that team's going to be really, really scary to play once the playoffs get started.
Yeah. Walker, I know that being in the NFC North, you've had a firsthand seat to Aaron Rodgers, and NFC North fans get annoyed by the guy. But this Packers team, you got to admit, is this the best team they've had over the past 10 years?
The 15-1 team that they had that ended up losing in the NFC Championship game was probably a slightly more complete team. But this one's pretty close. I mean, obviously the passing offense is the most efficient in the league. Aaron Rodgers is the MVP. I mean, he's had an incredible season. Huge improvement over last year, which now just looks like kind of a weird blip in his obvious Hall of Fame career. Yeah, I mean, Devontae Adams took the leap. He's almost unquestionably the best receiver in football right now. Obviously, their run game is really solid as well. Aaron Jones is very good. Jamal Williams is solid. their pass defense has improved as the season has gone on. Obviously, Jaire Alexander's a great player, but Kevin King has improved. Adrian Amos has had a nice season at safety. The only question I would really have with – well, two questions, I guess. One is the run defense is still not good. They haven't been able to stop, you know. I know David Montgomery had a nice end of the season, but he played five straight bottom five run defenses, and two of those matchups were the Packers. So I'm a little concerned that a team might be able to keep their offense off the field enough to control the game. And then offensively, the only concern that they would have is that David Bakhtiari is out with injury. So they're going to struggle to protect Rodgers' blind side.
Yeah,
Oh, go ahead.
No, I've finished your thought.
Okay. I was just, you know, I mean, definitely a better football team than they were last year. I mean, they went into the playoffs, everybody knew they weren't making the Super Bowl. This year, they are the clear favorite in the NFC. They're definitely a legit team.
I'm Bakhtiari. I mean, the Bears are no slouch on defense, and I thought they protected Aaron Rodgers extremely well. And he has played. Bakhtiari has been injured throughout his entire career, and Aaron Rodgers still manages to have success without him in the lineup most years. So I'm not honestly too worried about that. Obviously, it hurts, but I'm not too concerned. Trey, any final thoughts here on the Packers?
I guess one final thought I would have is that, well, I was going to touch on that, the Bakhtiari situation, but you guys touched on that already. I guess I would say to keep an eye on their interior linebacker play, or that back part of that front seven, their linebacking group. That's been a weak spot for them for most of the year, but they've started to turn it up a little bit. So keep an eye on that, their middle linebacker group, and see if they can keep up that play as we get closer to, or as we get into the playoffs, excuse me.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing, the X factor here is the fact that A.J. Dillon has come on and looked absolutely fantastic the last 3 weeks of the season. And I know his biggest game is against the Titans defense that gets gashed by everybody, but I thought he looked really good against the Bears. I think he can be an added weapon for them. And in the case that run defense does get exposed, Walker, I think they can win on the ground. I really do think they can. I think they can win with long, drawn-out drives that are propelled by Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, and finished off by Devontae Adams in the red zone. So I just think that they are a tough team to match up with right now. And to me, the ceiling is, and the expectation is very much for Bear the team to make it out of the NFC, and everybody else is just kind of chasing them. Where in the AFC, I could see a lot of different teams coming out of the AFC. In the NFC, I sort of have a tough time seeing anyone but the Packers emerging as a playoff team, which moves us to the two seed, the Saints, who have played, to their credit, much better over the past few weeks. But I'm curious as to what Trey thinks of how the Saints have looked over the past few weeks here.
I think the Saints have looked what the Saints have needed to look like. If they wanted to at least have a chance of going deep into the playoffs, the return of Drew Brees was big. It helps in that passing game a ton. So much. He brings so much more than Taysom Hill, obviously. But it seemed that Saints offense when Taysom Hill was running it compared to Drew Brees running it, it's like night and day. I don't think there's any question about that. Alvin Kamara is on a tear this past month. I think his production suffered a little bit with Drew Brees out, but now with Drew Brees back, I think that offense and Alvin Kamara specifically can get going and stay consistent in the running game and that short passing game, which Drew Brees loves a ton. That defense is It's crazy. I love watching that defense. I love watching Trey Hendrickson and Cam Jordan dominating off the edge defensive ends. I love watching that defense. I see if the Saints had, I guess you could say, an above average option at quarterback, I think they have a chance of beating the Packers. But with Drew Brees back there at quarterback, I don't think they have a chance, really. I think it will be a competitive game, maybe, simply because that Saints defense is real good itself. But Drew Brees is more closer to a liability now than he is a solution on offense. So if the Saints had the unfortunate opportunity of playing against the Packers, then I seriously think the Packers would handily beat the Saints. But that's just my opinion. Maybe. Anybody else share that same opinion?
Walker?
I mean, I don't know if it would – I would imagine it'd probably be a pretty close game between the Saints and the Packers. But, I mean, the Packers already beat them this season. I would pick the Packers if those two teams were to match up. Are we going to do game picks for the NFC games as well?
No, that'll be Thursday, actually.
No.
But if you want to give your game picks, right, you can. At the end, we'll okay. run through them, and we'll let you.
Okay. Sounds good.
You do your picks while me and Trey sit silent. Big thing. Alvin Kamara has COVID, so possibly he's not available Sunday. No one really knows.
He has a chance, though.
No one really knows yet. And they have a good matchup, which, I mean, we'll get to much later when we talk about the Bears. But it's that could hamper them long term. But who knows? Maybe if they survive – well, actually, that is completely untrue, because if they survive wild card weekend, he's probably back for the divisional round. But they played really well at running back. Ty Montgomery had like over 100 yards on the ground on Sunday and played pretty well. Now, that's the Panthers' defense. But still, the Saints' offensive line has just been playing out of their minds over the past month or so. And have looked really, really good. The passing game still concerns me a little bit. Michael Thomas isn't quite as involved as I'd like him to be. But Breeze has looked better. I mean, he's not making the mistakes that he made earlier in the year or doing too much and throwing interceptions. He knows what his limitations are, and he's playing like a high-quality game manager. And with the team around him, who knows? Anything can happen when you have that defense and some of those offensive weapons. And your coach is Sean Payton, who I think that's a huge X factor. I think he's one of the better coaches in the NFL, and I'll be interested to see what happens with the Saints. They're just such an interesting storyline. They have so much on the line. More than really any other team in the NFL, really, because Breeze is slated to retire. I kind of thought one of you would jump in there. Sorry for the awkward pause. Walker, any final thoughts on the Saints?
Yeah, I mean, I agree that there's a lot riding on this season, because it kind of feels like the last run with kind of this core. I mean, they're in some serious bad cap situations going into the offseason. Breeze, it sure seems like this is going to be his last season. It probably should be. And, you know, a lot of their key contributors are getting older, getting, you know, nagging injuries popping up, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I definitely think that if they want to get Breeze one more ring, it's going to have to be this year. And unfortunately for them, they're going to have to play pretty much perfect 4 weeks in a row to do it.
Yeah, that's about the long and the short of it for the Saints. They are gonna have to play the best football they possibly can, but I mean, that's true of every team in the playoffs, so I think that they have just as good a shot as anyone really to take out the Packers. They're the team I could see doing it. Maybe this third team that we'll talk about right now, the Seattle Seahawks, who are just a bizarro franchise. Started the year with insane passing numbers. The offense looked unstoppable to me. If you would have asked me week eight who I thought was going to Super Bowl, I would have said the Seahawks. But they lose a few offensive linemen. The passing game gets stagnant. They try to go back to the run more. That doesn't work super well. Russell Wilson has been the 19th graded quarterback by PFF over the past 2 months of the season. It's sort of unbelievable how much he's dipped. And he's a guy that survives without a lot of criticism. He has played really, really poorly over the past 2 months. He's had spurts where he looks good, but he does not look confident in his offense, which is odd because DK Metcalf looked like the all-pro halfway through the season, and Tyler Lockett's been very good this year, and he's got some weapons out of the backfield. But, you know, according to people on Seahawks Twitter, the issue is the offensive line. I'm not a fan of Brian Schottenheimer. I think he's part of a problem. And I mean, Trey and I talked about this yesterday. Seattle has a lot riding on him. This has been like 2 or 3 years now where Russell Wilson has been in his prime, and it feels like you've sort of wasted that. It's getting to Aaron Rodgers under Mike McCarthy territory, I think. And I know everybody loves Pete Carroll, but if he refuses to bring in another offensive coordinator, I think a year from now, maybe we're looking at him as a guy that might be forced into an early retirement. Probably not fired just because of what he means to the franchise, but someone who's pressured heavily to get rid of Brian Schottenheimer or step away from the team altogether. And this is just a big year for the Seahawks because it feels like they have the pieces to be a contender, and the window for them to get back to the Super Bowl sort of opened up this year. And it's one or two more years probably with this Corby hit for you have to give DK another huge contract, or you have to pay Lockett more money. They, to me, seem like a team that, and I mean, they've made a splash and traded most of their draft picks for Jamal Adams, and the defense has looked great, but the offense has got to step up. And I don't know, Trey, am I wrong in my pressure of Seattle here? I just think this is a really key year for them. And if they come away with nothing, I think it's an extremely disappointing year for the Seahawks, considering what they looked like halfway through the season, and a complete and total failure of not only Russell Wilson, but the coaching staff.
I don't think it would be as much of a failure as you're saying it to be. It's hard to really call it a failure considering that.
Really?
I mean, see,
I don't know, man, they were,
let me rephrase that. I don't think it would be as much of a failure as you're saying it would be if they, you know, disappoint in the playoffs. This team still has so many holes defensively. Even though it's been playing better over the past month and a half, it still has a lot of holes defensively, specifically at pass rusher, and at corner. And even with the offense has been sputtering over the past month and a half as well. I don't know. I don't think it would be as much of a disappointment as you're saying it would be. Now, of course, it would be disappointing to lose in the playoffs, considering that you probably have one of the top three quarterbacks in football, and he's been playing out of his mind this year. But I don't think it would be
Not right now. He's not currently a top five NFL quarterback. He's just not.
Okay. Well,
I know, Walker, you're really plugged into quarterbacks as well. Would you agree with that? I just think he has not been a top five guy since about week 10. He has not been that good over the past 2 months.
You can make an argument that he's at five, but that's the highest you could go. Cause I mean, Rodgers, Mahomes, Allen, and Watson have all outplayed him pretty significantly.
Lamar Jackson has outplayed him.
Second half of the season.
The past month, yeah.
Ryan Tannehill has outplayed him.
Shit, Matthew Stafford's outplayed him.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. See, I don't know. I just don't know. I think I would if see I when I judge teams, you know, based off failure and success, and when it comes to playoff and playoff wins and all that jazz, I want to see teams that have their best options available and their best options available in the best situation possible of team wise before I can judge their seasons as failures or if it's a success, excuse me. But it's they don't have all those pieces on both sides or on defense specifically just yet. So I want to see this team with some more talent on defense before I can judge, you know, any future potential playoff performance down the line, whenever that comes. So that might be just me, and that might be me being too soft on the Seahawks, but this team is 100% be 10 times better if they had some more talent on the defensive side of the ball. And that's vague. That's so vague. You can say that with so many other teams, but it can be specifically said with Seattle simply because that offense is the driving force of that football team. So I want to see some more pieces on the defensive side of the ball before I start judging any sort of failure in terms of playoff success and failure when it comes to Seattle Seahawks.
Just to put in some context, Russell Wilson has not had a game where he's thrown for more than 300 yards since November 8th. And that was the blowout loss to the Bills. Really, since that Cardinals game, he has not looked like the guy that he was through the first kind of 6 weeks of the season, where his numbers are otherworldly good. But you look at his touchdown numbers over the past month. He has thrown exactly 4 touchdowns over his last 3 games, and his only game with more than 2 touchdowns since November 1st has been the Jets. That's it. He had to play the Jets to throw more than 2 touchdowns. And I don't know what's going on, because it's hard to blame Russell Wilson. I mean, he is one of the better quarterbacks we've ever seen. But I don't know. We were talking about this in one of our group chats. Walker, what do you think the issue is with the Seattle offense? If it's not Russell Wilson playing poorly, or maybe it is, what else is it? Because it can't just be him, because the completion percentage numbers from him don't look that bad either outside of this 49ers game they just played. He's been pretty league average as far as his completion numbers go, but the yardage and the touchdowns are just way down since that really the halfway point of the season.
I think they've played a lot of division games, which obviously will hurt your offensive production. The NFC West has a lot of good defenses in it. Plus, they know Wilson and his tendencies better than other teams. So I think that plays a slight role. Wilson simply hasn't played particularly well the second half of the season. So that's another point. I think the loss of Greg Olsen to injury was a little bit more harmful than people realize, because they don't have any reliable targets behind their top 2 guys, you know? And you don't really trust one of David Moore, Chris Carson, or Jacob Hollister to make enough plays when they need to. And the offensive line the performance has gone down. They've been hurt a lot. And teams have defended DK Metcalf better. They've shifted a lot of coverage his way, knowing that Tyler Lockett's been good this season, but not quite as good as previous seasons, and that they can pretty much single cover him and let him get his, because they know Metcalf is the clear number one guy. And so teams have been shifting a lot of attention to his side of the field, limiting his production. And then Wilson's really only got one guy to go to then. And I just, that entire combination of factors just leads to an offense that hasn't been able to adjust because they have a bad coordinator.
I think that's why they really wanted Josh Gordon back when they were supposed to get him, I believe, last week or a couple weeks ago. David Moore has shown some big playability as that wide receiver 3, but I think I, and I think this, anybody could say this. I think anybody would take Josh Gordon now, the way he is now, over David Moore as wide receiver three. Just to get some looks away from DK Metcalf and maybe even from Tyler Lockett, like you said, Walker, who hasn't, you know, been as good this year compared to previous years. So I think the discipline or the lack of Josh Gordon's skill set, even if it's 2020 Josh Gordon, I think his presence alone would help take some looks off some of those guys in a passing game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, that could be it. I just am completely perplexed by them. And they've got a tough first-round matchup. They do with a team within division, and I get that they don't have a quarterback right now, but the Rams are a tough matchup, and it just would not shock me if there's some kind of upset there. I don't know if I believe that fully yet, but – I don't know, and I have a hard time seeing them as what they currently are, holding the Packers down, because for as good as the defense has looked, here are the quarterbacks they have shut down over the past month: Nick Mullins, Jared Goff, Dwayne Haskins, Sam Darnold, Colt McCoy, and
CJ Beathard
and Carson Wentz. I don't know. People really think that defense has turned a corner.
No, I
think your schedule just got full of cupcakes, and I think that the Packers might tear them apart. I don't buy this team in any way, shape, or form. And I want to so badly because I love the Seahawks. They're one of my favorite teams to watch in the NFC, but I just don't think this is it for them this year. They look completely out of sorts.
Yeah, I think it'll take a heroic effort. I was trying to say a more difficult word, but I think it'll take more of a heroic effort from Russell Wilson alone just to keep that Seattle team functioning in the playoffs. Because even though the NFC doesn't look as competitive as the AFC, there's still some really good some tough matchups for the Seahawks specifically in the playoffs. And even though their first one against the Rams have a really, really good defense. So they could cause some problems for Seattle. But even down the line, they could pose some issues for Seattle. So it'll take a really, really big effort by Russell Wilson and that offense. Because, like you said, that defense has played a schedule full of cupcakes over the past month and a half. So if they run into a good offense, then Russell Wilson and Brian and Schottenheimer might have to dive into that bag and get that offense going again. And if they can't, they're simply going home, no doubt about it.
Yeah. It's tough. And I'll keep saying it. I mean, if this does not work out, they need to make an offensive coaching change. They just have to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
I've been screaming for that since last year.
This is just not working. And you're wasting.
No, shoddy ain't it.
Yeah. You're wasting a generational talent. This guy, Russell Wilson, could easily be Aaron Rodgers and have better numbers than Aaron Rodgers if he was in Matt LaFleur's system.
Yeah.
It's just a fact of the matter. And, they need to get something figured out quick, because this setup is not working. I mean, if you look at it, they have not been to the Super Bowl in – 4 or 5 years at this point. It's been a while since they've even been to the NFC title game. They are not a team that is made playoff runs over the past few years, and it's largely because this happens. They disappear down the stretch and fall apart. So let's hope that doesn't happen, because I really like the Seahawks. All right, let's talk about do we have to talk about them?
The football team. The
Washington football team.
We can keep that brief, though.
I mean,
we already know.
Here's what you need to know. Great defense. Chase Young, a monster. Montez Sweat, probably one of my favorite players, defensive players to watch on All-22 all year this year. I've been kind of jumping in and out, trying to watch one All-22 game a year. I've watched like three Washington games. He is so fast. He is just so fast. I love Montez Sweat. Washington's got great defense, great secondary. I'm a Utah guy. I love Alex Smith, but Alex Smith ain't it. And Alex Smith with legitimately one offensive weapon, if Antonio Gibson's not ready for this game, that also is not it. So unless you guys have anything else to add, I think we can move on.
Just one thing. Dayron Payne. Oh, go ahead, Walker.
No, you go ahead. You were first.
Oh, just one thing. Just wanted to say, Dayron, I love what Dayron Payne's doing this year. And also Kendall Fuller, more of a slot guy. But they transitioned him to be more of a boundary corner since they needed him there. And he's played real well. So I love what that defense is doing. But also that offense is horrendous. So, yeah, don't like it.
Yeah, and I mean on that defense, like there's a lot of guys who have really showed out this year. I mean, Jonathan Allen's one of the best interior defensive linemen in football. Cole Holcomb has been really, really good at linebacker. Cameron Curl, drafted in the seventh round, has been a legit starting safety this year, which is insane. But yeah, offensively, they would have a better chance of staying in this game with Tampa if they played Taylor Heinicke at quarterback, and that's a really horrible sentence.
and don't tell Matt Vladivinos this, but Troy Apke has been a fine safety this year. He has looked decent at safety.
I don't know about that.
I don't know what people see when they watch him. I see a guy that makes plays.
I don't think he's useless, but I think he's a backup.
Okay. I just think that he is a little bit more valuable than that. All right, wildcard teams. Here's a team that could make a run. The Buccaneers. The Buccaneers got the ball six times in the first half, I believe, on Sunday. They scored all six times. This is a team that a few weeks ago, everybody was like, oh, man, are they going to blow it up? This isn't working. It's working now. Like, this is one of the most ferocious offenses in the NFL right now. Mike Evans is questionable for the game. Luckily, that injury wasn't more severe. But even so, Chris Godwin is playing out of his mind right now. Antonio Brown is playing out of his mind right now. And sneaky, Rob Gronkowski looks really good, like really, really good. Not prime Gronk, but like end of tenure in New England Gronk. He has been phenomenal down the stretch, and he looks faster too. I mean, I buy the hype around him, and I buy the hype around the Buccaneers. I know the defense hasn't been as good lately, but it only takes a few good games for Todd Bowles to coach up the defense, and he did it earlier in the year. To me, the Buccaneers are the team that I could see knocking out the Packers. They're kind of a team that I think could make a surprise run and go to the Super Bowl, just because I have made a fool of myself counting out Tom Brady too many times. I will not do that this year or any year until he retires. If he gets to the dance and he looks good going in, he can do anything. And I think he has looked like a really good quarterback over the past month or so. He's played really well. So the Buccaneers to me are a really interesting team to watch. What do you think about the running game for Tampa Bay, Walker?
It's good enough. I mean, I was a huge critic of Ronald Jones, early in his career because, to be honest, he sucked. But he's gotten a lot better. You know, he's worked his butt off. He's in his third season. He looks like a legitimate starting NFL running back, and good for him, you know. you know, Leonard Fournette's whatever, he's fine, I guess, but they don't need him to carry the load or anything. So he'll be fine as a number two. Yeah, that's really all they need. I mean, it's not a great run game, but the offensive line is pretty solid. Obviously the pass game is very high level right now. Insane weapons for Brady, who has played a lot better the last month of the season, albeit against a lot of bad defenses. And the run game is good enough. I mean, I agree with you. I think that the Buccaneers are the best, the most likely threat to the Packers in the NFC.
Yeah, Trey, what do you think about the Buccaneers here?
I think I agree with you. I think they're the team most suited to knock off Green Bay, simply because their offense can really keep up. They have so many weapons all over the place. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, Ronald Jones, and even Rob Gronkowski, who's turned back the clock this year. They can. It's a difficult, I guess you could say, scenario to play out, simply because that Green Bay is so good. But I think Tampa Bay could give Green Bay a run for their money if they did meet up in the playoffs. But for the Buccaneers as a whole, I think they're probably the most dangerous wild card team in the NFC right now, simply because, like we said before, that offense is playing real well. And even that defense, which hasn't been as good as earlier on in the year, it still has so much talent, and it still can start playing real well with the snap of a finger. So they're going to be an interesting team to watch as the playoffs proceed and as they go through. They should get an easy win against the Redskins, or excuse me, the Washington football team. But the rest of the games, when whoever they play in the divisional round, should be an interesting matchup for sure.
Yeah. Now it'll be really interesting to see how this goes. And I mean, this is all, you know, icing on the cake for Tom Brady. I mean, it's important in the playoffs, I think, to start thinking about legacies a little bit more than we do in the regular season. These guys have had really strong seasons, like Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, but still the greatest to ever do it is Tom Brady. And I sort of think he's not done yet. He is just one of these guys that I would be amazed if he doesn't win another ring over this year or next year. I just think that there's what he and if he wins one this year, I think there's a chance he retires, because he seems like a guy that would want to go out on top. And he's just so good still at such a, you know, age that's up there now. And I know everybody talks about that, but I just do think it is really impressive what he's done with his entire career. And we'll see what happens with this playoff run. But I, for the first time in a while, am rooting for Tom Brady. So we'll see what kind of happens there. The Rams, potentially without Jared Goff, does that hurt them? I don't know.
Yes.
Yes, it does. Even though he's bad, it hurts them.
John Wolford did not look terrible against the Cardinals. That's all I'll say. You guys are probably right. I know. I'll back off my hot takes, but John Wolford did not look terrible against the Cardinals. And hey, again, it's the Seahawks. It's a division game. Anything can happen. Do I see the Rams making it farther than the divisional round? Absolutely not. I think that they are destined to get knocked out early or be a one and done type team. And I honestly don't have a ton to say about them. Trey, do you have any thoughts on the Rams?
I think the only thing you can say about the Rams is that the Rams will go as far as Jared Goff can carry, or the Rams will go as far as Jared Goff can go in terms of performance. Because when Jared Goff can play some good football combined with that Rams defense, then
I think the Rams are one of the more interesting teams to watch in the NFL. But when he's bad, and for the most part this year, he has been bad, the Rams can lose some weird games like they did against the Jets. So it all depends on what Jared Goff can give them, injured thumb and all. If he's bad, then the Rams are done. If he's good, they have a chance, maybe against anybody. I'll exclude Green Bay. But against New Orleans, Seattle, I think they have a chance against anybody if Jared Goff can play some reasonable football.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much agree with that, honestly. If Goff was healthy, I would absolutely pick the Rams to beat the Seahawks. I think they're a better football team overall. I love what they've done with their defense. I love that they've completely ignored off-ball linebackers because they don't matter. They've spent a ton of money and draft picks on the secondary and defensive line, and lo and behold, their defense rules. It's super good. Brandon Staley is a very smart defensive coordinator. They've got the best defensive lineman and probably the best corner in football. So it's really hard to score consistently on them. But the problem is that you're starting a dude who's played one NFL game on the road in a playoff game. That's not going to work out very well. I think that I would even go a little bit further than Trey. I definitely think the Rams would be a legitimate threat to win the entire NFC if Goff was healthy and playing at an average level.
I'm
serious. The Rams.
He's not playing at an average
level. I know. I said if.
I don't know about that.
And I don't even know if. Yeah. Even Jared Rams, Goff at average is not good.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying Jared Goff throughout his career has been a below average starting quarterback, somewhere in that like 18 to 22 range.
Yep.
They made it to a Super Bowl with him doing that in a worse defense. Like there's no reason why in a weak NFC they couldn't do it again. But he's hurt, and so they won't.
Is the NFC weak, though? See, I just don't see them having any chance against the Saints or the Packers.
The NFC isn't.
They would beat the Saints.
Yeah,
with Goff healthy.
Now with Goff out there, I don't know if they would beat the Saints. I think they would give them a game, but I don't think they'd beat the Saints.
I do.
Why? Okay. Why?
Because they can neutralize what the Saints do well. They have a ton of defensive speed. They will commit numbers constantly to Kamara. Ramsey will shut down Michael Thomas, so Breeze won't have anybody to throw to except Kamara, who will have a ton of defensive attention on him. And so the Saints won't be able to move the ball. The Rams have better special teams outside of kicker, but Matt Gay has been decent since he was signed. The Rams have a better defense. The Rams have better receivers. I just think the Rams would be able to do just enough offensively to sneak by. I don't think it'd be a good game at all. Like, I would not want to really watch
it. That'd be a snooze fest.
And I'm kind of glad that those teams almost assuredly won't play each other because of the golf injury, because that'd be a garbage-ass playoff game. But
horrible, dude.
Yeah. This is all conjecture and what ifing anyway, because they're not going to win this week with Wolford at quarterback. I don't think. I just don't think it'll happen. But I do like the way the Rams have built their roster.
That's fair.
I'll just say I disagree. I just don't think they, even with Goff healthy, I just don't think they stand a chance against the powerhouses here. Just because I think I'm much higher on the Saints than both of you. Let's talk about, the Bears got in somehow. This is what you
– this is the worst case scenario.
This is what you get, NFL. You need to make more money. You need to get your greedy little paws on everything. And – you get the 8-8 Chicago Bears in the playoffs. Ugh. Okay, are you happy? Like, no one's going to watch that game except for me because I'm an addict. But, like, come on now. Like, maybe the three people on this podcast watch that game, but most of America probably does not watch that game.
Most, I don't. I watched that game for a quarter, and I'm out. Most likely, I'm out.
Okay, say something nice about the Bears. Mitchell Trubisky has not been a liability over the past month.
He hasn't. David Montgomery has been really, really good.
I'm not saying he's good.
Take a look at the defenses that they've played.
Okay, I'm not saying he's good, though.
Take a look at the defenses.
I'm not saying he's good.
He's at, well, you can't say that because that would just be wrong.
Right. I'm just saying he's not a liability right now.
I don't know about that. I think he's not a liability against awful defenses. Against the Saints, I think he's absolutely a liability.
Yeah. I mean, because
he played actually really well against the Packers. Like, not good, not
even
like
last,
for his standards.
Okay.
He didn't throw a single pick.
Yeah.
He threw one.
Oh, wow. He did throw one.
Oh. Yeah, at the end of the game, yeah.
Yeah. It felt like he didn't throw a single pick. I don't know. I got to talk myself into this. I know. That was a bad one.
You see the interception he threw against Jacksonville?
That was a bad one.
The Adam Archuleta literally said on the broadcast, that's a pick that high schoolers throw.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was a bad one.
He's garbage.
I mean,
you want me to say something nice about the Bears? Cairo Santos has had a great season kicking for them.
Okay.
That's good. Can I say one more thing?
Paul Walker, for the record, will never say anything nice about the Bears. But
can I say one more nice thing about the Bears?
Khalil Mack's really good. Kyle Fuller's also really good.
Jalen Johnson, been pretty good this year.
Yeah, he's been good too. He's been real good.
I would like to state for the record, Jalen Johnson has not had as good of a rookie season as a lot of people think because the Bears are smart. And they do a really good job making sure he's never matched up against anybody good. But
he has done
his job well.
But he can get better.
His job is just not very difficult.
I just won't take Utah slander on this podcast. You can slander anyone else, just no one from Utah. I mean, we already get slandered enough here in this state.
Hey, I love my boy John. I love my boy John Pennacini, okay?
All right. The Bears can do us a solid favor and just, you know, go away like the little annoyance that they are so we can enjoy the actual playoffs. The Saints and the Bears does not qualify as a playoff game. I'm sorry.
Here's the one thing. Nobody does playoff heartbreak quite like the New Orleans Saints.
They're not doing it against the Bears.
Look,
here's what happens. I would say on this podcast right now, if the Saints somehow choke a playoff game away to the Mitchell Trubisky.
The same thing about the Vikings last year.
No. That Vikings team was much better than this Bears.
Yeah, it was. The Bears literally have Mitchell Trubisky is about to trick the Bears into giving him another contract just because he's played against a mirage
now
of bottom 10 defense.
That's absolutely.
He's about to trick the Bears.
Yeah.
He's about to rob them.
You know what would truly trick the Bears if he had a great game here?
I think that might be the case.
Dude, as a Lions fan,
I hope that the Bears barely lose this game and Trubisky plays weirdly well.
I think that's what's going to
well
happen
enough
here.
That they bring him back next season and the defense gets worse because defense is variable from year to year.
Yep.
And Allen Robinson leaves because he doesn't want to play with Mitch Trubisky. And then they go 4-12 next year and I get to laugh all the way to the bank. It's going to be great if that happens.
Yeah.
Yo.
I mean, okay.
Oh, gosh, man.
I hope that also kind of happens. That'd be funny.
Eric, I want to give you a prop bet. I'll pay you $5 if the Saints somehow choke this away.
Deal. I don't have to pay you anything if they don't.
If they don't, no way. That's true. That's true. Okay. Fine. Since I'm going risky, if the Saints choke this away, I'll give you $5 cold hard dollars.
I'll buy some more cranberry juice. 2020 is the year of cranberry. 2021 is the year of cranberry juice. I'm not drinking soda anymore. I'm drinking fruit juice.
Drink water, man.
No, water's gross.
Yeah, drink
water's water. Amazing.
Water is gross.
I don't like water either, but I drink it. I don't like water either, but I've been drinking it because it's good for me.
You can't sit down.
Why would I waste my life on water? I mean,
you can't sit down and eat dinner with
some. Overrated. Like, I have this take and people roast me for it, but water sucks. Like,
water's amazing.
No, water sucks.
It doesn't. Well, I don't think water tastes good, but like, it's definitely good for you. And
it doesn't taste like anything, though. Water doesn't taste like
carbonated water.
Yeah.
Carbonated water's good.
No.
Flavored regular like carbonated water is disgusting.
Seltzer sucks. All seltzer sucks.
Seltzer
except
great.
The alcoholic ones. Those ones are good.
Alcohol. Alcohol stinks. Drink water. Alcohol stinks. Drink water.
I like non-alcoholic seltzers.
Boy,
we could all
get that LaCroix out of my face.
We could all get drunk and do this podcast again.
Who knows? That would be a disaster.
Who knows?
I'm just like sucking down to Serrano, like, I got takes, boys.
Hey, maybe that's an off-season podcast. I'm not even joking. Maybe that is a legitimate off-season podcast.
Please.
Bring me on to talk about draft prospects while I'm drunk.
Yes. Let's just do that. Yeah, that's actually been marked on the calendar. That's happening.
Hell yeah.
All right. This has gone off rails. But, yeah. Playoffs. Enjoy them. All right, Walker, where can people find your stuff? And then let's bounce.
Real quick, I'll give you my game picks. Saints,
okay, good.
Saints 23, Bears 13, Buccaneers 31, football team 10, and Seahawks 19, Rams 12, just because it's a dumb score.
This is going to be an ugly game, dude. It's
such score for that game, too. That's a really good score for that game, actually.
I'm on Twitter at Big Daddy Drix. I tweet about football and also really dumb stuff.
You do.
I don't know. I think I'm a pretty solid Twitter account. I'll make you laugh. I'll make you cringe.
Make you cry.
I have a podcast. Yeah. Oh, hey, you never know.
You have a podcast.
I have a podcast. Really? Yeah. It's called Twitter's Main Characters. It's at Main CHAR Pod on Twitter. I haven't done an episode in a little while. I'm looking for a permanent co-host right now. So you can listen to the first three on any platform that you have. And other than that, go Lions. Please keep Matthew Stafford. I'm out.
All right. That's not happening. Trey, we'll see you later.
Bite your tongue, Eric.
I'm leaving now. Here we go. Peace out, all. We'll see tomorrow, AFC. We'll see you. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.